Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
What a message. Let's pray together. Lord, we believe it. We believe that no matter what, we trust you and we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And we pray now that as we turn to your word, that you would continue to encourage us with your presence, that you would encourage us with your truth. Lord, that you would take us somewhere today. That on this journey of trusting and following Jesus, as we look to your word, as we are filled and surrounded by your spirit, Lord, we pray that you would move us today. Help us trust you more when we leave than we do right now. And help us follow you more faithfully. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Man, that song reminds me of a song that we used to sing when I was in college. I was a part of a group at Center College that met on Wednesday nights, and we would meet just to sing a few songs and usually to hear from a guest speaker. And there was one song that we would sing that still has lodged itself in my mind. It came out in 1995 by a band named Delirious, and it was "Oh Lead Me." It's pretty straightforward. "Oh Lead Me to the place where I can find you. Oh, lead me to the place where you'll be. Lead me to the cross where we first met. Draw me to my knees so we can talk. Let me feel your breath. Let me know you're here with me. Oh, lead me." That song meant the world to me then, and obviously, about two decades later, it still speaks to me. It speaks to this inner longing that I have within me and that you might have within you for God to lead you. For God to shepherd you, to guide you, to take you where you know He wants you, and to lead you along the way, knowing that He's with you every step of the way. At that time in my life, I was being led away from pursuing a career in medicine to now looking at what does ministry look like. And that was scary for me. That was a scary time because since I had been in seventh grade, I knew that what I was doing was I was going to go to high school, go to college, go to medical school, and spend my life serving humanity in that way. And God called me out of that. And it was such a difficult time. I don't know if you've ever come to a fork in the road. I know you can find one in Simpson County. And Yogi Berra said, take it, but I don't think it'll fit in your car. But if you've ever come to a fork in the road where you got to make a decision. And, you know, the Bible tells us a lot of wonderful things, but the Bible doesn't have the next step for you to take always written down. The Bible didn't have the next step for me to take of, hey, Jeff, here's what you're supposed to do now. Right? It gave me principles. It gave me knowledge of who God is and how I could trust Him and follow Him. But there wasn't a, hey, this is what you do next. So I was yearning for God to shepherd me. That's a theme in Scripture, a motif. I mean, there's a reason why every time that you mourn the passing of a loved one, your mind goes immediately to the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Why do you think that psalm speaks to us so deeply? I have a hunch it's because that's what we all deeply desire. We desire our Lord to be our shepherd, to ensure that we do not want. We desire that He would leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We desire that, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we would be able to fear no evil. Why? Because He is with us. We desire that He would prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that He would anoint our heads with oil, that He would make our cup to runneth over. We desire that goodness and mercy would follow us all the days of our lives and that we would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what we want, and that's what I wanted in that moment. And I knew that psalm was true, but I wanted it to feel true. Have you ever been there? You needed to move it from your head to your heart. You needed to move it from your cognition to your experience. One of the great motifs of Scripture is the shepherd motif, and I want to kind of walk you through this, going all the way back to the Exodus. Remember when God led His people out of captivity, and He did it with mighty hand and outstretched arm, that God Himself was with them as He brought them out of slavery in Egypt? He went before them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and when Egypt's army pursued, He moved back to their back to be a barrier between them and the Egyptians who were trying to kill them. It's unbelievable. And then he raised up a shepherd to lead them out of that captivity in human terms. What had Moses been doing for 40 years in the wilderness? He'd been taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. He grew up 40 years in Egypt in royalty, killed somebody, fled as a fugitive, and spent the next 40 years tending sheep in the wilderness. And what was God doing? God was preparing him for the third 40-year journey of his life where he would tend God's flock in the wilderness. Or you think about David, the shepherd king, who wasn't even invited to the king anointing party. You remember when Samuel went to anoint the next king at the house of Jesse, and Jesse brought all his sons out except for David. He knew David wasn't going to be the king, so he sent David out to tend his flocks while the party was going on. And what did God do? God, who knows the hearts of every person, rejected all of David's brothers and said, "Do you have another son? Go get him." And we know that David's experience as a shepherd came in handy, because when he was facing Goliath, what did he do? He went back in his mind to times when his father's flocks were facing attack by predators, and he saw the hand of God deliver him and the flocks from those predators. So he said, "Listen, if the lion and the bear weren't a problem for the flocks, I know that God can deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand." And what was God doing through all that? He was preparing David to shepherd God's people as king. And it wouldn't be an easy task. God talked about setting shepherds over his people. He talked about the leaders that he appointed in Israel. And if you think about the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, there aren't a whole lot of good ones. So in Jeremiah, God said that he would judge those shepherds and that he would provide shepherds after their own heart to lead them according to God's way. And then we come back to Psalm 23 and the yearning of our hearts that our Lord would be our shepherd. When John chapter 10, Jesus makes a statement that I think you want to hear today, and I want to hear it again today too. He says that he is the good shepherd. We're still in the context of Jesus healing the man who was born blind and the Pharisees being upset about that. The religious leaders were upset that Jesus healed a man, gave him his sight on the Sabbath day. And so not only did they interrogate the man's parents, not only did they interrogate the man himself, now they are indignantly interrogating Jesus. Who are you and what are you doing? And there's a divide among them, because some of them are saying, how could a sinner bring this degree of healing in this person's life? And the other faction within the Pharisees is saying, how could somebody who violates the Sabbath not be a sinner? And so they're arguing, and Jesus teaches them. And he gives some amazing images in this teaching. So turn with me to John chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 1 through 30 today. But I want to give you this theme: Jesus shepherds. Jesus shepherds. The Apostle John wrote, as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit, recounting this. Jesus is speaking. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." First point that I want to give you today is this: Jesus guides us. Jesus guides us. Now, if you notice in the Bible, a lot of times sheep are mentioned, and sheep have a reputation. Sheep have a reputation of being, shall we say, not the smartest of the livestock. They follow a flock mentality because they have to. I mean, you know, you see a sheep, and they don't have a whole lot of natural defenses. They don't have sharp teeth. They're not incredibly fast. So what do? They get together, and they stay together, and they travel as a flock. And here's the thing. Sometimes if you have a leader sheep who leads the flock to do something dumb, they'll all do it. They'll all go. I mean, there are stories of entire flocks of sheep running off of cliffs because one of them did, or running into a fire because one of them did. And so sheep need a shepherd. Now, here's where you and I need to be awakened to some reality. Often the Bible refers to us as God's sheep. Can it happen that sometimes you and I can make some bad decisions too? Can it happen that sometimes you and I can follow a flock mentality into things that aren't beneficial for us? Well, yeah, of course that can happen. And so not only do sheep need a shepherd, we need a shepherd too. So here's this image that Jesus is giving. The image is that of a communal sheep pen there in a town where several different families might keep their flocks in this community pen. And the image is of a shepherd approaching that communal sheep pen. So how are you going to gather out your sheep? There's a gatekeeper who keeps watch over the gate and will not allow thieves and robbers in. You have to be the one caring for your sheep. But you come, the gatekeeper recognizes you, and then here's how you get your sheep. You call to them. You call to them. That's how shepherds led their sheep. They were very close to their sheep. Their sheep were not only their livelihood, but their sheep were often precious in their sight. And their sheep knew their shepherd, and they knew the sound of their shepherd's voice. And so the shepherd would go to the communal pen. The gatekeeper would recognize him. He would go in, and he would call out his sheep, and his sheep would come to him. That's the image that Jesus is using, and that's how a shepherd led his sheep. A shepherd in these days didn't lead by going behind. A shepherd led by going out front, and the sheep followed the shepherd. They trusted the sound of the shepherd's voice, and they went where the shepherd would lead. Jesus is using this imagery, and notice that's exactly how Jesus led his disciples. He was with them. Our shepherd guides us by his presence. He was with his disciples then. When he called his disciples to come follow him, he meant it. Literally, come and follow me. Go where I go. See what I do. Hear what I say. And eventually, you're going to do what I do. Greater things than these you will see. Greater things than these you will do. But that was the disciples' training program. They were with their shepherd everywhere that he went. They traveled with him, and there was an old adage back in those days that as you followed a rabbi, you wanted to follow that rabbi so closely that you would be covered in the dust that their feet kicked up as they walked. So that's the idea, this with him principle. Shepherds were with their sheep. Do you remember Christmas? The angels appeared to the shepherds. What were they doing? They were out tending their sheep, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were what? Sore afraid, Linus said. They were with their sheep. Jesus was with his sheep. And what's amazing is they responded to his voice. What did he say to them? Follow me. Come on. It's time to go. And they went. They followed him. And the same is true for us, that God is with us. As he was with his people as they came out of Egypt in the Exodus, as he was with his people through the tabernacle and through the temple, in Jesus Christ, he is with us. And now, for those of us who trust and follow Jesus, we have been given his Holy Spirit, and he is with us everywhere we go. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. He's with his people. We hear his voice. We trust his voice. And we follow him. The Puritans used to have a saying. It said, the same sun that hardens the clay melts the ice. And this is happening right now. There may be people in this room or people sitting in their living rooms or people who are somehow exposed to this message in this moment. And they are hearing the exact same truth from God's word preached. They're in the presence of the exact same Holy Spirit. They're hearing the eternal word of God being proclaimed. And for some people, it is absolutely melting us. Oh, these are the words of our God, and we rejoice. And just as we just sang, we will trust him even when the answer doesn't come as we think it should or when we think it should. We will trust him and we will follow him. It is melting the ice around our hearts. And then there are others who are hearing this message right now and who have either already turned the channel or they're very angry about it. I have emails to prove that, by the way. Yeah. So why is it that some people are melted and some people are hardened? Well, it's because some people haven't learned to trust the voice of the shepherd just yet. But God's still moving. And God is
opening his arms to receive any who would come to him through the shepherd that he has given. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Well, now look with me at verse 7. Let me make sure. I just had a moment. I thought about the pie queen, and I think I'm not sure that I gave us the first point. The first point was Jesus guides us, all right? Now look with me at John 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The second point that I want us to see this morning is this. Jesus guards us. Jesus guards us. There is so much rich text here in this passage. I mean, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. And we want you to embrace the full and abundant and eternal life that God gives us through Jesus Christ our Lord. But there's so much going on in this passage. But I want you to see something that maybe you haven't seen here before. That Jesus guards us. It comes from a story that was related by G. Campbell Morgan, who is the longtime minister at the Westminster Chapel in London in the early 20th century. And he tells a story of coming across a theological scholar on a train journey, and they got to spend some time together. And listen to what G. Campbell Morgan wrote in his book dealing with this passage. He said, these two I ams that Jesus just mentioned, the door and the good shepherd, are interlocked by a wonderful way in the light of Eastern life. It was once my privilege to cross the Atlantic with Sir George Adam Smith. I shall never forget the fascination of that voyage as he talked of those eastern lands he knew so well. One story he told me was this. He was one day traveling with a guide and came across a shepherd and his sheep. He fell into conversation with him. The man showed him the fold into which the sheep were led at night. It consisted of four walls with a way in. Sir George said to him, that is where they go at night? Yes, said the shepherd. And when they are in there, they are perfectly safe. But there's no door, said Sir George. I am the door, said the shepherd. He was not a Christian man, and he was not speaking in the language of the New Testament. He was speaking from the Arab shepherd's standpoint. Sir George looked at him and said, what do you mean by the door? Said the shepherd, when the light is gone and all the sheep are inside, I lie in that open space, and no sheep ever goes out but across my body, and no wolf comes in unless he crosses my body. I am the door. And G. Campbell Morgan said, let that illuminate these words of Jesus. So I want you to think about this incredible image that Jesus is using. So picture a pen. And it's a four-walled structure. The walls aren't very high. They don't have to be that high. But there's an opening, which is the place where the sheep go in and out, and they find pasture. But once the sheep are in for the night, the shepherd himself lays down in the space and becomes the door for the sheep. He is the one who grants admittance into the pen to each individual sheep, making sure that every single sheep that's supposed to be there is there, and making sure that no predators are in. Once the sheep are in, he literally lays himself down. He lays down his life, if you will, to form a physical barrier so that the sheep stay safely inside and no predator can come in. What a powerful image for how our Lord serves as our shepherd. He himself admits us into the kingdom of God. We come in through him, and once we are in, he holds us, he protects us, he grasps us in his hand. He has a hold of us, and he will not let us go. For any predator to get in, they have to go through him. What does the Bible say? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. What does the Bible say? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. What does the Bible say? That in Jesus Christ, we will be brought to the completion of Almighty God in our lives. God will finish the great work that he has begun in you. Why? Because your shepherd, who was your way into the kingdom of God, will guard you and guide you in the kingdom of God and protect you from the predators that want to destroy. And not only is it the predation of others on the outside, it is a thief who wants to do nothing but steal and kill and destroy. Jesus guards us. He lays down his life for us. And the best way that he did that was at Calvary's cross. He literally laid down his life. Notice what he just said. No one takes my life from me. Freely I lay it down, and what? Freely I will take it back up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus is the door for the sheep. Jesus is our shepherd. We shall not want. Well, now look at how it finishes, verse 22. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The third and final point that I want to give you today is this: Jesus gives us eternal life. Jesus gives us eternal life. If you've heard me say before that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God has you in his hand and you will not be let go, no one snatches you away from him, that's where it comes from. The very words of Jesus himself. That if you have repented of sin and you trust and follow Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he's got a hold of you and he will not let you go. There's something amazing that Jesus is revealing here. Something amazing about this shepherd motif. I told you that we saw the shepherd motif in the Exodus with Moses. We saw the shepherd motif with David. We saw the shepherd motif as God appointed leaders over his people, and those leaders failed. And in Ezekiel 34, Ezekiel's speaking during the Babylonian captivity, and God, through the prophet, speaks of exactly all the ways in which the shepherds that have been appointed over God's people have failed. They have not cared for God's people. They've cared for themselves. They've gotten fat over what they should have been giving to the sheep. They have not done what God commanded them to do. And so listen to what God says through the prophet in Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them to lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Did you hear what he said in verse 15? I myself, God says, will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them to lie down, declares the Lord God. In the face of the failed shepherds of the people, God himself would come down, and he would gather his sheep unto himself. And how did he do that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God himself, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, has come for us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the good shepherd that does not exploit the sheep, but lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. And so you and I, when life takes turns we're not expecting, or life becomes difficult in ways that we can't stand, we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 resonates with us because it cries out from deep within us, God, I need you to shepherd me. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need you to guard me. I need you to provide for me. God, I need you. Oh, lead me to the place where I can find you. Lead me to the place where you'll be. Lead me to the cross where we first met. Draw me to my knees so that we can talk. Let me feel your breath. In other words, let me have an overwhelming sense of your presence here with me. Let me know you're here with me. Lead me. Lead me. And as we trust and follow Jesus, that's exactly what he does. That's exactly what he does. Now, it doesn't end there. This shepherd motif continues all the way through the end of Scripture. In Revelation 7, there's this amazing moment with the saints who have come out of the tribulation. They are there in their white robes, robes washed clean by the blood of the Lamb who was slain. They are there only by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who had called their name and to whom they responded in faith. Listen to Revelation chapter 7, verses 15 through 17. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them in his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So as you trust and follow Jesus, you know that you are there because the good shepherd has laid down his life for you. You know that you are guided by his presence that is within you through his Holy Spirit. You know that you are guarded by the fact that he lays his very life down for you and is the barrier between you and the predators and the thief who comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And you can know that he has given you eternal life. And no one can snatch you out of his hand. You are in his Father's hand. No one snatches you out of his Father's hand. He and the Father are one. And then there is coming for you a day where he will be your shepherd for all eternity. He will wipe every tear from your face. He will lead you to living water. He will feed you with the bread of life. He will let you come in and out and find pasture forevermore. He is our good shepherd. So you may be wondering today, does God really care about me? Does God really care about me? Well, the answer is yes. More than you can imagine, he cares about you. More than you can fathom, he cares about you. He would not entrust you to a hired hand. He takes care of you himself. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to come and welcome you into his kingdom, into his pen. Jesus did that by laying down his life. And then he took it back up again on the third day when he arose from the grave, and he lives today. And he promises life everlasting to all who trust and follow him. So today, as you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, but come to him. Turn away from sin and embrace his forgiveness. Embrace his grace as his grace embraces you. He is the good shepherd. He will guide you on this earth. And he will guide you into eternal life where you can find rest in him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we love you and we thank you that you really do care for us. And Lord, we recognize that we have given you every reason not to care for us, and yet you do anyway. You love us with a love that is everlasting. You care for us with care that is too deep for us to even understand. You shepherd us. And so, Lord, we will not want. We are thankful that you make us to lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside the still waters. You restore our souls. And so, Lord, let us live in that restoration. In Jesus' name, amen.